Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's get into it. Okay, so how are we feeling about this Super Showdown thing?
I am conflicted.
Why are you conflicted? Like, is it just because it's like glorified house show in front of a lot of people?
And I go back and forth, like almost on a daily basis, on whether I'm okay with that.
Right.
Because it's the kind of thing where they made a big enough, deal out of this Greatest Rumble where you're like, okay, let's see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then once it was like, okay, this is what we feared, yeah, quote unquote. This is a house show.
Mm-hmm.
This is, the WrestleMania of house shows, but it's a house show.
And honestly, it is a smart idea to do this, like, with these matches that are probably going to be low risk as far as, like, title changing hands or anything like that.
Right.
Because they're doing it in front of these audiences that they rarely ever get to. And so the fans are just happy that they're there.
Right.
So that's, like, guaranteed to sell out just because they show up maybe once a year, if that.
Yeah, so you get that huge thing. It's also, like, I don't know what the numbers are on these shows.
Right.
I don't know how the Greatest Rumble did compared to WrestleMania a few weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Or even to, like, Extreme Rules or Hell in a Cell or any of these other secondary cards. It doesn't come on a Sunday,
yeah,
at 8 o'clock, when I know exactly when this is happening. This, mm-hmm, one's coming on 5 a.m. on a Saturday.
Right.
And so there's kind of this thing. It's like, okay, you might not get as many people watching that, understandably.
Right. And that's what I'm interested to look at. And, clearly their motivation here is the people that are actually going to be there. Like,
mm-hmm,
the ticket sales there, which,
right,
is kind of the opposite of what they usually go for. Like, especially with WrestleMania or any of the pay-per-views or anything, they almost, as we can see a few times, they don't really care about the audience that's there because it's minuscule compared to the numbers and the revenue that they're getting from the network of the, presumably millions of people watching at home.
Right.
So it's just interesting because if it was for the people at home, mm-hmm, they would air it at a different time slot, for one, especially because it's a, America-centric company.
And it's a, I get the quote-unquote trap of you can't air any big deal, at not live.
Yeah.
Anything that's, any sort of like, oh, surprise, I didn't expect, what a twist to, mm-hmm, happen, you can't do unless
yeah,
you're doing it live because it's ruined. Even the tiniest of things, gets ruined.
Yeah.
And I understand that, and that's a quandary for you to deal with as this company.
Sure.
And I don't have a better solution than when we go to Australia, even if it's the WrestleMania of Australia, that's,
yeah,
still house show.
Yeah. I mean, like, at least with Greatest Royal Rumble, you had, like, that giant 50-man Royal Rumble that you'd never done before. So, yeah, at least, like, some intrigue and some curiosity there from the fans.
Yeah.
This one is like they're really trying with this whole, last in a lifetime.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And if there was, and we'll, I guess we'll get to that match because that's the match to talk about here.
Sure.
If there was storyline building up to that,
mm-hmm,
then I feel like I would care. If you could promise me that this was last in a lifetime, I feel like I would care.
Okay, here's the thing. To borrow your phrase,
mm-hmm,
if there could have been some sort of like stipulation guarantee that this would be the last, like that, then because we've seen that with once in a lifetime,
right?
Like, all right, this is only going to happen once in a lifetime, and they do the exact same thing the next year, like, okay, well, we all got kind of duped on that one. Like,
yeah.
Granted, like, yes, they're going to do monster pay-per-view numbers because The Rock's on the show. But, it gets the joke of, twice in a lifetime. And now you got the last time ever match that they said, like, months ago. They said this months ago, and they were saying it then. Last in a lifetime. Or last, ever. I keep wanting to say last in a lifetime. you know, but what real guarantee do they have while we all know WWE's track record on this?
Yeah, there's no guarantee for that. And part of it is their last feud, quote-unquote, their last time meeting was one of the best culminations of a multi-year story arc in a long time, especially if you include the two Shawn Michaels matches before that.
Yeah.
That four matches and all of the feuds that wove those together, that is, you know, that final moment, those three guys walking out, that's a great, great, great moment to end on. And so, you know, you're sitting here being like, oh, this is kind of like so far past that, and it's like one more, okay, here you go. And you're like, yeah, I never saw Die Hard 5.
Right.
Like, it was in the theater, but I never saw it. And then you're like, well, that's not even, that still feels like too generous of a comparison. And you're sitting there like, all right, so like, they're on like the Scorpion King 6 now, which is like a prequel to the sequel to the Scorpion King. And then you're like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And it's just like trying to grab that last 98 cents that this potential IPP has left to drain from it.
And centering an entire like monster super show around it.
And I feel like you could still, there could be a story to tell of these guys have one last thing to prove. But part of the issue is they started the promotion of this is like, hey, it's going to be Undertaker and Triple H, you know, last time ever, one final match.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now go feud. And they're like, oh, we're going to start saying mean things about each other.
Right.
And you're like, well, that's backwards.
Sure. Like, you said it ahead of time, and then they start, you know, getting personal or whatever. Which is funny because most of the storyline is about Shawn Michaels, apparently, because, you know, that's really much what, like, that's the really only thing they're talking about. The only thing we're talking about is like, oh, man, Shawn Michaels is really involved in this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really even care about Triple H versus Undertaker. Can we, like, because like all this rumor of Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement and stuff for the Saudi Arabia show in November.
Crown Jewel.
Yeah. Can we just skip to, like, HBK versus Undertaker? Because that'll sell out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if Shawn Michaels does come out of retirement, and, like and we talked a few weeks ago about how, like, you know, the possible tag team match at Saudi Arabia is kind of, like, might be dipping their toe in the water just to see how much he's got.
Mm-hmm.
If at some point we don't get Shawn Michaels Undertaker 3.
What are you even doing here?
Right? Like, and Grant, like, part of me, okay, part of me does kind of, part of me is okay with them not really touching perfection. Like, let's not mess with it. Neither guy probably has the same amount of juice that they had back then. We know Undertaker definitely doesn't.
No.
We're not sure about Shawn Michaels because that's the last time we've seen him in the ring.
Right.
I mean, but I'm willing to bet probably not.
Again, to bring up a reference from 40 seconds ago, I never saw Die Hard 5.
Sure. So, I don't know.
And
I think I'm more, I would be more intrigued by new matchups that Shawn Michaels could have with like current everyday talent.
So every week we go into this podcast, we get into the room, set up the microphones, test the levels, we're getting ready to podcast. And I have this little like mantra going in my head is like, this is not the week I'm going to complain about why Roman Reigns is crippling this entire industry. And this is not the week.
This is like the fourth straight week, though.
I know.
So go on.
Because
I'm going to step away from the mic and just let you go.
So has it not crossed your mind that Shawn Michaels is eventually going to be fed to Roman Reigns?
It hasn't until now. Thanks for that. Like, okay, here is the real test of how they're going with the build-up to this show. They've made me not really care that Shawn Michaels, my idol, my favorite wrestler of all time, is possibly coming out of retirement. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and that's sad. That's eh. And now you're telling me that at some point he might be fed to Roman Reigns, and I'm like, eh. Like, okay, that just makes me hate this all the more. Like, just leave him in retirement. I'd rather him not to job to Roman.
Well, and that so they're running out of guys for Roman to go over.
Yeah.
And they don't...
And they've kept AJ from him, you know, for a couple years now.
Yeah. They don't seem to have another strategy. They're not going to stop trying to get him over.
No.
And they don't seem to have another strategy other than keep feeding people to him.
Yeah.
You know, you do The Undertaker and it's not working. You do Brock and it's not working. And there's rumors of, like, it's going to be The Rock at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and, like...
Which is also not going to work.
Not yet. Shawn Michaels is...
Again,
in this, you know, assembly line of people that...
Right. You can put any legend, established legend, Hall of Famer, whatever, in Roman Reigns' path, he's not going to get cheered.
No.
And honestly, it is intellectually insulting that they would even try. Like, what did they think was going to happen? You know, or what will... What do you think is going to happen when they put Roman against The Rock? The most... popular guy that's ever been in wrestling aside outside of Stone Cold.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? The most popular guy ever. And the guy that you really want the people to like and they haven't caught on for the last 5 effing years.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad. It's not going to be what they want at all. And the fact that they keep trying and just like plugging their ears and just nah, at everyone... is it's infuriating and tiring and all that stuff.
Well, part of the infuriation is the thought process has to be there's no other there's no other option for this thought process of, oh man, guy A is undefeatable and Roman Reigns beat him. Roman Reigns must be amazing. Guy B is super undefeatable, and Roman Reigns must be super duper amazing.
I totally understand the transitive property of you know,
but that's
kayfabe goodness.
Well, and that's not a thing anymore.
No,
this you know, this setup, this situation of I you know, first of all, this I cheer greatness thing doesn't really exist anymore. People hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
People hate the Yankees.
Just like people hate John Cena and starting to hate Charlotte.
And those are genuine, you know, those are genuinely talented, skilled, amazing. Like, I can't be like, oh, Tom Brady is a terrible quarterback and like he's gotten, you know, crazy lucky these past years.
Okay, you're mispronouncing cheater, but continue.
But my point is, yeah, that's the thing you'll watch it. I don't like him. He's, you know,
yeah.
Yes, this guy, you know, should at some point is approaching synonymous with his position, like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods style.
I hate that, but yes.
But I hate him. Yeah. and oh boy, I sure do hope he loses.
Yeah.
And part of that is because he's been good for years.
Yeah.
And you've seen it in your own business with, like, in your own company. And I don't know what the, like, oh, wait, stop, change thing is.
I was having such a good day, and you just had to bring up the Roman situation. You just had to. You couldn't help yourself.
I have a question.
Okay.
This week on Raw, there were Shield matches abound.
Individual, yeah.
Yes. Dean Ambrose versus Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins versus
Drew McIntyre.
And Roman Reigns versus Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns versus Dolph Ziggler was going to be a title match and then not a title match. What would the unrepairable damage be if Dolph Ziggler had beaten Roman Reigns cleanly in that match? Dolph Ziggler, who, like, in kayfabe, let's remember Dolph Ziggler's Survivor Series match.
He's got, you know, a lot to his name,
But you have these tiers where you're like, oh, you have Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns as the supermen, and then they both have two sidekicks to even out the, you know, playing field. And so two out of the three matches are, oh, there's no actual storyline here. It's a Superman versus a regular man.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anything invested. What if Dean Ambrose beat Braun Strowman? What if Dolph Ziggler beat Roman Reigns? What if you had two teams comprised of three people each that were all pretty close?
Yep.
That on any given day could go one way or the other.
What's wrong with it? Nothing. Why they didn't go with that is because they don't want Roman and, by transitive property, the Shield to look any bit slight weak at all for some reason. Because, you know, we're supposed to... We've been given this... this storyline for years now where, you know, you saw it with John Cena, like, he's always an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Wins all the time, but we're fed this dialogue that he's always an underdog. And they're doing that again with Roman, like, always trying to stack the deck against him, but he wins all the time. Yeah, but he's an underdog. Like, yeah, but...
And this week in particular... They didn't even stack the deck against him.
No.
He went against... He was one of the supermen that went against one of the regular men.
Yeah.
Like, he... It wasn't... There wasn't any progression of story because at the end of that match, they were going to be exactly where they were in this feud, in the rankings, in everything.
And they wonder why we don't care about this feud between the Shield and whatever they're calling the other team.
Yeah,
they ruined all the momentum Braun Strowman had just for this one throwaway match in Australia, essentially.
I mean, they're going to continue this
They're going to continue this feud, but at the end of this feud, what are they going to have to show for it? Roman is still going to be the Universal Champion, and Braun is not going to have anywhere near the momentum that he ever has.
There's weird, brilliant, interesting sparks where, like, Baron Corbin came out and said, like, this is not a title match. I call the title matches.
Sure.
In fact, you will not be defending the title until this point.
Mm-hmm.
Where they've immediately, in storyline, established that all of Roman's matches will be non-title matches. They have established that this is
basically
Corbin's
saying,
fault, so Corbin is the bad guy here. Corey Graves even said on commentary, he's like, oh, you got to protect this pay-per-view. That's what he's doing. So they've established, like, why they're doing it in a way that makes sense, that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Made it come out of the mouth of this heel. So it's like, boo, this is the guy that's depriving of this.
Right.
Roman gets to come off looking like the face you want, wanting to be a fighting champion. So, but you put all of that together, and then Dolph Ziggler wins clean.
Oh, yeah.
Like hypothetically, wins clean. Dolph Ziggler... immediately, you still have Roman as a champion.
Yeah.
You still have protected your pay-per-view championship. Dolph Ziggler is set up immediately to have a claim at the title.
And then you have like a pretty interesting storyline, I think, for him to be mad at Baron Corbin.
Exactly.
Be like, why did you
cut this out?
Like, I could be champion right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's an interesting little, you know, nugget. Like, kind of like what I can kind of see what SmackDown did this, you know, the next day. You've got Daniel Bryan and Miz going up against each other for a number one contendership at Australia. And then you had, you know, because of outside interference, you had Shelton Benjamin pinning Daniel Bryan on SmackDown.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can already see it, like, you know, down the line where Daniel Bryan is the number one contender, but Shelton Benjamin's like, I've got, you know, acclaimed all this.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll help, like, you know, take up some time. Like, you know, kill some time between, you know, whenever the championship match is, which will probably be Saudi Arabia.
Well, and I don't remember the last time watching Raw going, ooh, what's going to happen now?
Right.
And part of that is the issue of everything's spoiled already. So, like, this whole... And some of it's their fault. They do this, like, oh, Triple H and Undertaker are going to have the last match ever in a month and a half. So then we have, like... Could you imagine having these weird seeds of, like, Triple H coming out, talking about, like, the, you know, all this greatness he's done, complimenting, I don't care, whoever. But, right. like, you know, hey, I just wanted to say you have this, you know, great championship run. You're doing really great. You might be the best wrestler since me.
Yeah.
And then, like, throw in a weird, like, you know, and I've done this and I've done this and I've taken out The Undertaker. And some heel can get a face pop. I was like, ah, not at WrestleMania. You lost three times.
Right.
You know, and then Undertaker can come out again, or Triple H can come in. He's like, duh, duh, duh. But Undertaker's gone. Undertaker, yeah. You haven't seen him. I'm still here. I'm running. I'm in the gym at every, you know, morning at 4 a.m. clanging and banging. That's what The Rock says.
I hate that so much.
He steals that from The Rock to plant future seeds for a Rock feud.
Okay. You're in the deep end right now.
But my point is, he starts talking about, like, I'm still here. The Undertaker is gone. The Undertaker is a quitter and a loser.
Right.
You know, The Undertaker only takes matches now that aren't a threat to him.
Yeah.
You know, The Undertaker's not real anymore. Mm-hmm. He doesn't threaten people like me. And so we're sitting here as this evolves over 3 or 4 weeks of Raw going, like, is it possible? Ooh, is he doing this thing? It's what we did with all these Daniel Bryan is coming back hints. Mm-hmm. It was the talk of the internet.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, he did this. He's got to be coming back. Those are coming back hints. Those are, I'm just like, but he's not cleared yet. And, you know, we don't know anything yet. And it's like, but look at how he's interjecting in this Miz feud. Like, that's a guy who is clear. We just don't know it yet.
Right.
And all of that would have went away the second he's like, I'm cleared. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. You have to do that at some point. Yeah. And Daniel Bryan, in that instance, deserved that moment of, like, the mic in the ring and me, and I'm going to talk to the crowd.
Coming back kind of thing.
Right.
Because if, you know, we did the whole storyline of, like, he just got pushed really hard one time, and now he's wrestling, and we're like, okay, wait, now he's clear? Like, you're clearing him because he's angry at somebody? Like,
yeah.
He's been angry at so many people mm-hmm. when he wasn't cleared, you know?
But, you know, you can look back and be like, oh, these hints were because he was cleared, or we were pretty sure he was going to be cleared. You know, like, right. they were getting things ready. And there's so much of that they don't do. And maybe if I didn't watch the internet at all, mm-hmm. maybe if there was no, like, oh, hey, you know, people are taking pictures of Shawn Michaels being in the gym a lot more.
Right.
And, like, oh, there's, you know, all these rumors of this is happening. Maybe then I could be like, oh, I'll find out about this when I watch Raw.
Yeah.
But I don't. But that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So all Raw can do is tell the story presented, and in some cases through pluses and minuses, victories and defeats in the ring, mm-hmm. the things that are happening live in the plot, and it's nothing.
Right.
So hashtag it's Roman's fault.
Sure. I mean, I'm always okay with get on that bandwagon. All right, so we should probably get through the card.
Yes.
Because we don't know whether to treat this like a pay-per-view or a house show.
So we will.
I'm going to give it. Here's my idea.
Okay.
They've got this show and they've got Crown Jewel.
Yes.
If something significant doesn't happen, meaning like a title change or something, on either of these shows, then I will suggest that we no longer cover them like pay-per-views. It's all three strike and you're out thing.
Okay.
We had Greatest Royal Rumble. We had technically a title change just because it was like held in abeyance or whatever, or vacant. It was like the tag titles because they had to vacate the tag titles because child.
Yes. So the tag titles and vacant lost the tag titles, as well as vacant lost the Green Rumble title.
We haven't seen it since. That doesn't count. So my book, they're 0-1.
Okay.
So we'll see how this goes. Should we have like a number of title changes or just one? Just one title change.
I feel like one is a very low bar to get over.
Okay.
And I'm saying, like, let's go ahead and do it. Like, I'm not giving them a big bar.
How about a top tier championship? WWE or Universal? Either one.
Yeah, but I don't think either one of those is happening.
Okay, so we'll just...
Part of that is because, like, devil's advocate at this moment, mm-hmm. they're being held by Roman Reigns and AJ Styles.
Sure.
And I don't see an expectation of either one of those guys losing the title.
And I can't say mid-card belt because neither one of those is being defended. I don't think Nakamura's even on the show.
I would say that's true. I would say a title changes hands,
mm-hmm.
Or reserve the right to say that's a pay-per-view moment.
Okay. All right.
And I'll give you that throw for one.
Okay. That's like the difference between like getting a base hit and getting a walk, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
But either way, as long as someone gets on base, it counts.
Yes.
Okay. Even if it is like you swing at strike three, you miss, but it was a wild pitch and you technically.
All you got to do is get there.
You got there, but you still technically struck out.
This is a stretch of a metaphor.
I watched baseball until very late last night. Cubs lost. I'm a little cranky.
I could have told you that, and I didn't watch baseball.
It went 13 innings. I tried to like, okay, this is why I'm in a mood today, okay? Not only just because the Cubs lost, but like it was so late, the game kept going and going and going, that I was trying to like watch it in bed at like a weird angle. And I woke up this morning, my neck is killing me, and it hurts to move my head in any direction. I just shook my head, and it hurt a lot, okay? So I went through all this pain, and then the Cubs still lost. Okay, anyway.
This is why you cheer for the Tampa Bay. There's no late games.
No late games, because, you know, I'm assuming everyone in Tampa Bay is like 85 and they have to get home before dark.
No free baseball.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so let's start with the order that Wikipedia has it. The SmackDown Women's Championship, Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair, should be the main event because, dear Lord, this is the hottest thing going on in wrestling, or at least in WWE.
It is. I'm going to go Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I'm going to say Becky retains because I think we said it, you know, a few weeks ago that Charlotte's going to win it back at Evolution, you know, because...
Well, you've got Ronda and you've got Charlotte. One's going to go in defending, one's going to go in chasing.
Right.
And I don't see a reason or an expectation of any Ronda Rousey losing anything at the
right.
moment.
And that would set up Ronda versus Charlotte at Survivor Series if they do the Raw versus SmackDown thing. And
yes.
I think they want that. Although, that should be a WrestleMania match. It should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be...
I think you can have them lead the teams and tease a moment,
yeah.
like AJ Nakamura style, and then lead into a singles match at WrestleMania. I think there's easy to do that.
So we both have Becky retaining. A tag team match, Asuka and Naomi versus the Iconics.
There's a lot of tag team matches on this.
It is, but
It's got the signs of a house show.
Yeah, and I could see Asuka and Naomi winning, even though the Iconics are the hometown
people.
But they're also the heels.
I am not comfortable betting against Asuka yet. Like, I know the streak is broken. I know the...
And she hasn't really done much since then.
Right,
but,
right. Yeah. I know it's all the telltale signs of the WWE pushback to mid-card.
Telltale has no signs because they folded. Anyway, I couldn't help myself. The SmackDown Tag Team Championship, New Day versus The Bar.
New Day.
I'm assuming New Day's going to keep winning. Cruiserweight Championship, Cedric Alexander versus Buddy Murphy, another hometown guy.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Because honestly, like, I don't follow 205 Live as close as I used to now. But Cedric's been champ since WrestleMania.
I'm going to go Murphy.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's one of
Buddy Murphy's been putting in some impressive work lately.
He has been. And I feel like you got the hometown situation. That way you can have a title change on the show where you're like, oh, it's a real show. It's not a house show.
Last time they had a championship match, it was in Charlotte. So it was like hometown win there.
Mm-hmm.
You get a hometown win here for Buddy Murphy. And then I guess the third time, if he does win, they go a third time in neutral. I don't know what's halfway between U.S. and Australia. But, I mean, we could find out. Just a random island in the middle of...
That'd be the Atlantic.
Well, I'm just trying to say.
Or I guess in the Pacific if you want to go the other
way. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to be halfway, it'll be middle of the Pacific. I don't know. Hawaii. Let's just say Hawaii.
Sure.
Well, I don't know why we were struggling for that. No count out, no DQ for the WWE Championship. It's really, like, the only match that has any sort of, like, stipulation.
Stips, yeah.
But AJ versus Samoa Joe. No count, no DQ would be a good way for Joe to finally win.
Yes.
But I don't think they're ready to take that belt off of.
So I'm in this dilemma where when the AJ Samoa Joe thing started and it's like, oh, they're doing this feud, there was this feeling of like, this is the one that's going to take it off AJ.
Right.
It's Samoa Joe's time.
But
this is the moment where they do this.
They're at the point now where either the feud's got to end or they've got to put the belt on Joe. Yeah.
But and every single match we've gone into, up to and including this one, I felt like, not yet. This is still AJ's.
Sure, yeah.
And so I don't know when I'm going to feel like, oh, this is the one. This is where Samoa Joe makes it.
Because, I mean, if they want, it depends on what match they want in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Do they want Miz and AJ Styles? Do they want Daniel Bryan and Joe? Do they want Daniel Bryan and AJ? Like, that would sell a lot of tickets.
I mean, Daniel Bryan and AJ feels like the dream match for me, and so right. I'll just go ahead and say I'm picking those two
that's
and those
what I'm
two
assuming.
Matches to
yeah, that's what I assume is
make
where they're
that
heading.
Matchup happen.
But if they want to go with, you know, bad guy versus good guy kind of situation, like, you know, I don't really think you can go wrong with an AJ Miz feud because Miz is going to add so much fuel to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can go wrong with a Daniel Bryan and Joe feud. Yeah.
No, you've got you know, plenty of good options here.
But I feel like with the way that they want to go with the Saudi Arabia, like these big shows, they all about these dream matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Daniel Bryan and AJ is probably the more likely. But anyway, I'm going to just keep saying AJ Styles is going to win.
Yeah.
You know.
And I feel bad about it because I was sitting here at the beginning being like, oh, this Mojo is the one that's going to take it. And now I'm like, it's never felt right.
Yeah. So we got a 6-woman tag team match, the Bellas and Ronda versus the Riot Squad. I'm going to say, because we know where Evolution is going to probably head, I'm going to say the Bellas turned on Ronda and the Riot Squad picks up the win.
Okay.
Causing the feud between Ronda and Nikki. Because like every news outlet is saying it's going to be Nikki versus Ronda.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm assuming, unless they really want to keep that Ronda undefeated streak intact.
So,
but, I mean, like,
I was
honestly, go ahead and get that out the way. Like,
I was looking it up. So, because, again, to complain about Roman a little bit. and try and do it quickly, because one of the issues, again, with that Dolph Ziggler-Roman Reigns match, not to harp on this one
going
freaking match.
Right back to it. It's barely been 10 minutes.
I know. But I do have a through line here.
All right.
One of the issues is there's no wonder of who's going to win this match. There's no you know, thought process of like, oh, I don't know where this will go. And take that to Becky Lynch. Every match with Becky Lynch almost is like, oh, is she going to keep this belt? Oh, is she going to make grabbing this belt?
Yeah.
There's so much that like emotional moment of like, ah, they did it. They pulled this trigger happens with that match.
Yeah.
Roman trying to chase this title after Brock Lesnar so many times never had that because you're like, oh, Roman's going to win this. And then he didn't. You're like, oh, I'm surprised. But then the next it would roll around. You're like, oh, this is where Roman has it. And we'll have that same issue. I will. I'm assuming you will.
Mm-hmm.
At the Crown Jewel, we're like, oh, Roman's got this. And I'm not believing anything for a moment.
Yeah.
But complimenting that Becky Lynch moment of they did this, they pulled this trigger, and I will be watching the Becky Lynch match with rapt attention on this because while, you know, intellectually it's like, oh, will they put the title back on Charlotte or will they let Becky Lynch keep having it?
Right.
Watching the match in the moment, that thought process turns into, can Becky Lynch do it? Can Becky Lynch pull it off? I've sunk back into kayfabe.
Yeah.
Can she do it? And the only other thing I can think about feeling that is the Asuka streak, you know, going into, you know, Ember Moon, defending the title all that time where there's this like, can Asuka, you know, this like, oh, are they going to break the streak or are they going to, you know, have her keep going? In the moment watching the match goes into, can she do it? Can Asuka pull this off?
Right.
And so I was like, oh, they can do that same thing with Ronda Rousey. And so I look, Ronda Rousey's fought like 7 matches so far. This is the tiniest undefeated streak. I don't know. Like, they don't. they're not making a huge deal of the fact that she's been undefeated.
Right.
I
say go ahead and get that loss.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm going to pick Ronda just to be different than you.
Sure, okay.
But you make a very solid point. Yeah. They've not been... I feel like if you make a big deal of, like, Ronda's been here for 6 months and never been defeated, and you're like, yeah, but she's had 7 matches in 6 months. So, like,
also,
not that impressive.
My condition that I listed before we started doing this about, like, you know, as long as there's a title change, I'm looking through it. There's not that many titles on the line.
No, there's not.
Maybe even half? Because you've got all the SmackDown belts are on the line except for the U.S. Championship. Mm-hmm. Nakamura's not on the show. None of the Raw, unless you want to count the Cruiserweight Championship, which I really don't.
That's a 205 Live Championship.
Yeah.
I don't think...
Not a single Raw Championship is on the line at all. At all.
The problems with Raw.
So, yeah, okay. We have the 6-man tag team match, Shield versus Strowman.
The Shield,
yeah, whatever. I don't even have to get through the rest of the...
Way to make me not care about a Shield match that I've been asking for 3 years.
Right. Number one contender for the WWE Championship, Daniel Bryan versus Miz.
As I said, I'm going Daniel Bryan.
I want to go on Daniel Bryan as well. Because I don't know if this might not, like, end the feud,
mm-hmm.
but it'll finally, like, Daniel Bryan will finally get a win over Miz, because Miz is, you know...
He's been getting the wins.
Right. Through dastardly means. You got a tag team match. Elias and KO.
Okay.
And Bobby Lashley versus John Cena.
John Cena, house show rules.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Although, how about that
yeah, okay. Didn't expect that.
Well, I knew they were, like, still salty about losing the Supersonics, but dear God, Seattle, like, it's been a while. Like, I forgot what year Kevin Durant got drafted, but, like, that was the last year, you know,
yeah.
Seattle had a NBA team. And, man, they're salty.
Yeah.
Like, they would not stop for nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, they got pretty dead when Bobby Lashley came out, but that's, you know, Bobby Lashley.
That's Bobby Lashley syndrome.
Right.
Okay, so where are they next week?
I don't know.
Like, because you know that he's going to come out and do some cheap local sports team heat, and it's going to fall flat.
I mean, if they go to St. Louis, they can be like, hey, yeah, how about them Rams? You know, or something along those lines. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, that one might work because it's still kind of fresh because they only left, like, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wasn't expecting Seattle to be that salty.
I don't know.
But Seattle was pretty loud, like, in general.
They were a good crowd.
Yeah. So it might just be a them thing. But, man, like, I've never, like, outside of the John Cena, Vicky Guerrero segment, I've never seen a crowd just have that much hate for someone. The day after Roman Reigns, you know, quote unquote, retired The Undertaker.
Roman Reigns retired The Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels played Bret Hart's music.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Montreal?
Like, yeah, yeah, like years later. Or something.
Yeah, it was
like
years
that.
Later.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. Like, that one, that was just seemed to take it to a new level.
No, this was completely unexpected. And unwarranted, but, like, okay, you
yeah,
because,
like, we talk about how, like, you know, oh, my God, he's doing another dumb, like, your team sucks kind of reference, and, like, okay, it's tired, it's worn out. No one reacts to that anymore. And then Seattle's like, no, we're still salty. It works on us.
So, okay.
But, yeah, Bobby Lashley and Cena. Then, last time ever in the year 2018. Triple H versus The Undertaker.
You can't even promise that.
Well, no, because they're going to be in a tag team match against each other. That technically counts, okay?
Yeah.
If they're going... let's just talk about this match. Let's talk about what's in front of us. Triple H with Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker with Kane.
I mean, I'm going to go Undertaker.
Yeah.
I mean, The Undertaker doesn't lose unless...
But
it's,
how much BS shenanigans is going to happen in this match? I have my money on all of the BS shenanigans.
So we know that there is a person in either corner.
Yes.
Do you think there is a possibility of additional interference?
Absolutely. I don't know who for what side, but there absolutely will possibly be someone else that we're probably going to, you know, that we're probably supposed to care about, but we're not going to because it's probably going to be one of Triple H's friends.
Well, yeah, you're sitting there like, okay, who from Extended DX is still cool with the company?
I mean, all of them except for Billy Gunn. And even that's been a couple years since, you know, the whole Royd thing.
Yeah.
So they might even be cool with him coming back. But Billy Gunn seems to be pretty happy on the indies.
Yeah.
Him and his son, like, they're doing all right. Yeah. But...
And I don't know, maybe some monks will show up for the Undertaker?
Yeah, he can borrow some from Joey Ryan. If he wants to go that route.
Those are not monks.
Oh, okay. I mean, they had similar music, so I just assumed.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Like,
what's the thing? Like, Undertaker really wasn't really part of factions outside of the, what was the Ministry of Darkness or whatever?
Yeah.
And that just seemed, that included so many nobodies.
Yeah, that was Undertaker and Undertaker's tiny nobody minions.
I mean, technically JBL and Farouk were in that. With the Acolytes.
Yeah, but nobody's going to like...
But no one remembers
if they run down, nobody's going to like, I get this connection.
No one remembers that that's what the A stands for in APA. Like, they just know them as APA.
Yeah. The closest thing I can think is, like, Daniel Bryan as, like, technically, because he, you know, was part of that, like, Brothers of Destruction thing
for a night.
Hot minute. Yeah. Yeah. But he's got his own thing going on.
Yeah. No, it's got to be somebody... that doesn't have anything else going on, like, at all. Like,
yeah.
Not even someone who's on, like, SmackDown on a regular basis, like Nakamura or something. Like, he's got a championship, so he's got something going on, just not that night.
If somebody comes in for Undertaker, I'm calling it as non-debut NXT Ministry of Darkness monks.
It's going to be members of Evolution. One of them, if not all of them.
On Triple H's side?
On Triple H's
okay.
side. Because they've already kind of announced that... Well, they've already announced that Evolution's going to, like, you know, reunite at SmackDown 1000,
yeah.
Which happens this month, right? Like, in a few episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
a pretty good call. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, and it would have been some... It would have been some BS if they went through SmackDown 1000 and didn't have Batista at all.
Yeah.
And, like, he's itching to come back, and honestly I feel like we're ready for him to come back.
Yeah,
like,
I'm ready for him to come back.
I will give him as many cheers as he was supposed to get
the
a couple
first
years
around.
Ago a couple years ago. Yeah, I will give him all the cheers. And for some reason, like, WWE's like, no, we don't want that guy that's in that popular Marvel franchise.
Yeah,
or in a, you know, a James Bond villain. Like, we don't want that. Like, come on, guys.
This guy's got to do, you know, press circuits.
Mm-hmm.
In a few months for Avengers 4.
Right.
Like,
you can put a champion.
What if he was just, like, had this champion hanging off of his shoulder?
What if he was Universal Champion, you guys?
What if? Jimmy Fallon would have to ask him what that was.
Right? He's like, hey, I've seen a championship from WWE before. That one's red. That's weird. Tell me about that. You know? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But no. They don't want him back for some reason, and they seem like they begrudgingly finally asked him to come to SmackDown 1000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Again, you have somebody of that caliber, like, celebrity.
This guy.
Wanting, begging to come back in some capacity.
This guy.
And wanting to fully come back.
Yes. This guy is outgrossing The Rock right now in movies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think.
Because he's not making terrible Skyscraper movies.
Skyscraper was fine.
Sure.
But it was also fine.
Sure. But it ain't Marvel.
It's not Marvel.
And, you know, again, okay. How in the world has The Rock not been a Marvel superhero?
Because The Rock's going to be Black Adam in DC. And DC can't get it together.
Captain America's been in both. Hasn't he?
No.
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 Okay.
Nope. He's been exclusively
Deadpool.
Marvel.
Deadpool's been in both. Green Lantern was a real...
No, he's not.
...piece of garbage.
Ryan Reynolds has only been in Deadpool, which is a 20th Century Fox Marvel movie, not a Marvel Enterprises Marvel movie.
Still.
So,
either way.
No, he's not.
But he has done DC and Marvel. Like, He has done a DC movie,
uh-huh.
and he has done a 20th Century Fox movie. A movie based on a Marvel character from the Marvel comic books.
Yes.
And he has done a movie based on a DC comic book.
If you want to stretch it that far, then everybody has.
Have they?
I bet.
Everybody. Everybody is the what you're saying. Everybody.
I bet I could do some convoluted.
You know who hasn't been in a DC comic book movie and or a Marvel movie? Me. I'm someone. There. Proven you wrong.
Are you though?
Yes.
But are
you absolutely somebody. I am somebody, Joel. I was told that in elementary school and I'm hanging on to it.
All right, do you have anything else for this week?
Man, I'm glad Being the Elite is back. And, like, as soon as, like, you know, because they took a very much well-deserved
break. Yes, they have earned it.
And I'm sure there's plenty of people who have been bothering even on Twitter for, like, the last 3 weeks about, where's Being the Elite? I'm like, give them a break, you guys. Let them enjoy their time off. I can't remember which one, but one of the Young Bucks went and got LASIK eye surgery and everything. Like, they've been having themselves... good old time.
Yes.
And they come back with a really good episode of Being the Elite. Like, a lot of, like, the opening, which is, you know, all the cast of Being the Elite waiting around the locker room. And they're like, I can't believe he's so late. Like, it was 12 minutes. Now he's 14 minutes late. It's Marty Scurll coming in. And he's like, what's up, guys? And it's clearly referenced to the fact that everyone was blaming him and Okada for, like, you know, causing all the time issues at the end of Being the Elite.
Yeah.
Such a good joke. A lot of references to, like, possibly doing another All In. References to possibly going to WWE when their contract is up in January 1st, I believe.
Yep.
Just a lot of... I was... It's one of those things where, like, they wrapped up a lot of stuff in All In for the show.
They did. All In served as a season finale.
So I was like, all right, well, they're not really going to have a whole lot to talk about on Being the Elite. And I was completely wrong. Like, they just, the guys need to, the Bucks need to just be in charge of some wrestling company's creative.
Yes.
Because the amount of material they come up with each week, I know it's only like 20 minutes, but still, like, it's impressive.
Well, all the complaints, and this weirdly ties in nicely to Raw complaints, were like, I want to see, like, oh, storylines and breadcrumbs to follow and, like, oh, could this mean that? And, like, oh, I need to watch Raw this week to see what's going to happen, to see allusions to possible future things. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
That, 'cause there is a lot of possible future things. And they are struggling with the exact same issues of Raw of, like, you can't float any idea without the internet being like, this is the rumor. Yeah. So when you see this thing that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
This is what it all means.
Right.
So, but they are taking that, like, oh, we all know when their contracts are up. We all know that WWE has, you know, floated certain offers. We all know that they've talked about this all or nothing pack. We all know all of this backstage stuff about them that's not from anything that they've officially put out.
No.
It's not from any episode.
It's usually through Meltzer, which we tend to believe when it comes to Bullet Club, Young Buck stuff, because they are close to Meltzer.
Yeah.
So I would assume he wouldn't say it unless he was pretty positive, just from his close proximity to them. But yeah, like, there's...
But they've taken all of this, quote-unquote, additional information we have
and
sculpted it into
this
their actual
weird,
plot,
like,
line.
Kayfabe, but real-life storyline. It's super interesting. And if they ever do come to WWE as a group or whatever, I would hope that they continued maybe doing a network version of Being the Elite or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and again, where WWE, all they do is provide them with camera equipment.
Yeah.
And let them do the rest. Like, that, because I don't want anybody else's fingerprints on this, because if they do, anybody else, it's going to be
messy.
I don't want to say ruined, but not as good.
It's going to be messy.
Because you know what's going to be on the network as, I guess, a weekly show? The Broken Hearted Universe. Like, they started taping. They're basically going to have a network show. I don't know if it's weekly or if it's a one-time thing or what in the world, but they started recording it. And I'm not sure. Like, it was funny and interesting that they did it on, like, a pretty important role leading into WrestleMania, but they like that was the end of the show.
It was, and they, by all accounts, felt bad about it. Like, they opened up the segment with, like, Cole being like, I apologize for what you're about to see.
But yet they still aired it.
Like, and that
was that bad.
But that was the thing that, like, that was the part that was cut out of the 90-minute version on Hulu.
Yeah.
Because I had to, like, I hadn't seen it. I had to go and find it elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so it's like this thing where, like, they turned this in at, like, 7:45 and are like, here's the finale of a show. And like, oh, we hate it, but the show goes up now.
I mean, it'll be a good, like, little, I don't know, gauging of interest kind of thing on the network. Especially since, you know, Matt Hardy, as far as we can tell, is done wrestling. He's retired and everything. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to remain under contract, have him do something and see what kind of interest it can garner. Like, I appreciate that they're trying something.
Well, yeah, and you can do a lot of stuff. Like, he can break other people. He can have these avatars.
Sure.
Even if he's retired from wrestling, he can still probably throw a punch and take a bump.
Sure, yeah.
And so
it's just he can't do that, you know, on a weekly basis.
Right.
Multiple times a week kind of thing. So it's got some interesting stuff.
And, like, I'm not going to say I'm the biggest, hugest number one fan of all these, you know, final deletions, ultimate deletion videos. But I do appreciate how much they are this one dude's vision and his crazy passion project. And how much care is being put in. And that's what comes across in Beat the Elite, too. There is a lot of care and heart that goes into these
things. It makes me really
curious
on, like, I'm assuming Matt Hardy still has ownership of all this.
I guess so.
Because, you know, TNA Impact basically, you know, just stop fighting him and, like, it's yours. You own it. And I'm assuming he's not willing to give that up after he had that struggle with, you know, TNA
No, I'm
Impact.
Assuming it's Matt's.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because, you know, usually WWE doesn't like doing stuff like this unless it's something that they own completely.
Yeah.
You know? Which also makes you worried about, you know, being the elite. If these guys show up, they're going to want to try to, you know, own it, but I would assume they would go in, like, in their contracts, like, you know.
Well,
we still own this outright completely. Just in case they leave WWE, they can still do it, you know.
My guess is, and this is, again, pure speculation, my guess is this is going to be footage that is owned by WWE.
Yeah.
Creative content, creative direction will be entirely Matt, and we'll say Young Bucks for the sake of hypothetical. If they leave and then they start doing Being the Elite on YouTube again, I don't think they'll have those episodes.
No.
I think those episodes will still
be that
WWE
content,
footage on...
That video footage will belong to WWE, but as far as like the name and
yes, I think they'll still have that.
They'll still have that, yeah. I don't think they'll be willing to part with that. Like, and same with the Young Bucks. Like, there's no way in the world they're going to come to WWE and not be called the Young Bucks, you know?
No, not at this point.
I will say, like, as far as, like, the likelihood of them coming to WWE, like the elite cast, aside from Marty Scurll, because he's, you know, got more time on his contract than everybody else, I fully believe that they're going to make the next move as a group.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the main reason why, like, you know, we got word a few days ago that, you know, WWE did make an offer to Hangman Page, and he's turned it down. I'm assuming that's because it was just to him and not the group, and he wants to stick with the group. Or he turned it down as part of a negotiation, you know?
Yeah. Well, what do you think the odds are of there being some sort of limited appearance by these guys on WWE without them necessarily being complete and unique WWE wrestlers?
I could see them doing that with NXT, like making NXT appearances. I don't know, because that was the original plan for like Samoa Joe, you know, and then he was just so insanely popular that WWE just signed him outright. So I don't know.
Well, and Joe had dates to fill, right?
Right, and he did. He filled them, and like, but that was going to be like the working relationship. At that point, it was like he was going to be on NXT, but he was still free to do other shows
stuff,
elsewhere, but not like TV, I'm assuming. And then they just, you know, decided against that and then just, you know, offered him more money. Well, so I don't know if they would, if I don't know if Vince would be willing to work that kind of a deal and have them be featured on like main roster shows.
Well, and I asked
Triple
that,
H might be yeah. more prone to.
I asked that almost entirely based around All In 2.
Right.
You have to feel like All In 2 is a dream, is a plan at this point.
Yes.
Is how are we going to do All In 2?
Yeah, I don't know if like the Bucks are necessarily, you know, wanting to go forward with that, but Cody, you can tell, absolutely 100% is wanting to. And that's the thing with Cody. Like, you can see him just really, like, spreading his creative wings right now.
Yeah.
Like, and he's getting a taste for it, and he's loving it. I don't know if he's willing to give that up yet, you know? Because to an extent, you kind of have to go to WWE. You know, there's going to be so many things that you have no say in.
Well, and even if they're like, oh, yeah, you're doing that, you know they're going to have thoughts on All In 2.
Right.
And I don't know.
And All In 2 is not going to be like, you know, oh, these guys are just backed by WWE now. Like, is this really like an indie thing anymore? Like, even if they give them, like, you know, permission to be under WWE contract and still do an All In 2 or something, like, there's no way in the world. There's no
that they want that.
Yeah, like yeah, because then it's that point of like, okay, well, they're just backed by WWE now, so they're gonna have all this resource. So is it really like an independent show anymore?
Right, and if
that's all like the spirit of
and
All
if
In, yeah.
Cody and Young Bucks and Omega and Paige are all on WWE, and they're like, okay, now we're gonna go do this for a week, and you know, and the being the Elite that's been on your network is going to be furthering the storyline for this thing over here.
Yeah.
And you're starting to be like, why don't you just put it on the WWE Network?
Right.
And then you're like, okay, now it's not this
right.
thing anymore.
Like, you know, the good thing about that would be, like, you know, you have WWE resources as far as, like, streaming and everything, and you don't have the issues that we had when we were trying to start it. You know, you have something that's established and easy to manage, easy to run and everything. But at the same time, like I said, like it's the thing that was cool about All In isn't wouldn't be there anymore.
Right.
If WWE and, had any sort of knowledge.
And I will say, like, I don't know if it can be there
no.
again. Like, All In was part of the magic was can they pull it off? And
yeah.
there's just not as much thrill in can they pull it off again.
Right.
But
the enthusiasm behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I still think would be there. Like, I still feel like maybe it takes them a full hour to sell out 20,000 instead of a half hour. But I feel like going to WWE, I think they would have to make a choice, you know, WWE or All In 2. Like,
right.
I don't think they can have both. I really don't. I think the more likely thing that I could see them doing is all of them as a group basically signed with New Japan. That way they have freedom to show up wherever in the United States because
right.
they ran into that, you know, and Ring of Honor was very accommodating to them, you know, but a lot of them were essentially breaking their contracts to be on broadcast at All In.
With All In, yeah.
Well,
and I think some of the turnaround was that they were streaming it through Ring of Honor's
sure.
service. Like,
and
I'm
like,
sure there was some...
And there were so much of Ring of Honor's resources, you know, being borrowed or offered at
right.
All In. So I'm not even saying, like, them re-signing with Ring of Honor would be a problem. It probably wouldn't be. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I think as a group, because this is the closest thing we have to a genuine faction.
Yes.
Is these guys. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what their eventual contract is.
Yes.
And whether it's with multiple companies, even if one of those companies is WWE.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some weird appearance stipulations, and I think it's going to be interesting.
I feel like there might be some groundbreaking contracts.
Yeah.
In this group somewhere. But you can already start seeing, like, possible planning ahead, because with this whole, like, BCOG guys in New Japan, like, they're already, it's like they're almost preparing for a separation, because there is a separation now. Like, there is a civil war essentially going on with Bullet Club.
Yeah.
But you can see them starting to not necessarily distance themselves, but kind of put that division in there.
But know what's next.
Yes. And I feel like the next telling thing would be what happens with Cody's championships and Kenny's over the next couple months.
Yeah.
because I believe the Bucks lost their heavyweight championship this past weekend at, I forget the name of the show, but they lost to Firing Squad or GOD. Cody just won the U.S. championship from Juice Robinson. So Cody now is the NWA champion and the IWGP U.S. champion.
Yeah.
And I really don't think he's going to, if he's going to go to WWE, he's going to lose the U.S. championship. I don't think Billy Corgan's going to be okay with Cody taking the NWA championship to WWE.
To WWE, yeah.
It would be groundbreaking, and it would show a lot of partnership potential.
I would like to see something groundbreaking.
Yeah, and I would too.
I'm not holding my breath for groundbreaking
no,
right
and
now.
And as much of a history nerd that Triple H is,
yeah,
having that NWA World's Heavyweight Championship on WWE
TV. Show up on WWE TV.
Would be pretty great.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, like, they have all these working relationships with these smaller companies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have Adam Cole defending the North American Championship at these other shows, or at these other places. So you could still have a guy beat Cody Rhodes off of WWE TV, like, somewhere else, and be the NWA champion whenever they're done with it at WWE.
Right.
It could still happen.
And I think that no matter where this goes, I think relationships and what contracts mean is an evolving thing over these next couple of years.
Yeah.
This, you're a WWE guy or you're a WCW guy mentality that still exists today. You're a WWE guy or you're a TNA guy. You're a this right. or that is eroding. That, yeah. that is not where we're getting into this thing where Chris Jericho can show up in WWE and in New Japan and have storylines and be a face in one place and a heel in the other place and then fight on a cruise.
Sure, why not?
So, and can show up at All In,
yeah,
which is technically its own thing, but kind of Ring of Honor, but he's feuding this New Japan storyline that's going to continue on a boat.
And he's still technically the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
For New Japan.
So I think that stuff can start to happen now.
Yeah. And there's a lot of real interesting stuff coming up really soon.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see how it plays out.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays. We will be live tweeting some of this Saturday.
Maybe not live.
Maybe not at 5 a.m. Maybe the you know.
We'll see.
A few hours in, we'll start doing some live tweeting.
Yeah. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You subscribe there. You get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.